All right. Welcome, everyone, to another deep dive. Today, we're looking at a case from the Pennsylvania Supreme Court, Drake v. Drake.
Interesting case.
Yeah. And it deals with something, you know, pretty common, divorce. And specifically, it kind of looks at how workers' comp settlements, you know, those lump sum payments, how those are treated as marital property.
Ah, interesting.
Yeah.
So we're talking like if someone gets a big payout for, say, an injury at work, is that split 50-50 if they get divorced?
Exactly. Yeah. And that's kind of the question that we're going to be looking at today in a few different sources that we have. So we've got a fictional podcast, just a script that analyzes the case, a detailed brief on the case itself, and then a standard legal brief as well.
Okay, so three different perspectives on the same case to kind of give us the full picture. Sounds good.
Yeah, and I think one of the things that's really, really interesting is that, you know, workers' comp, it's designed to replace lost wages, right? Mm-hmm. So it's kind of, you know, it's to make the injured person whole. But then if it's considered marital property, does that mean that the spouse is also entitled to a chunk of that, even though it was based on the other person's injury?
Yeah, that's an interesting dilemma, isn't it? Like, where does that money really belong?
Yeah, and it raises a lot of questions about, you know, what's fair, what's equitable, what's the purpose of this kind of settlement?
And that gets to the whole issue of how the law defines marital property in the first place.
Right, exactly.
It's not always as straightforward as it seems.
So to really understand how this all plays out, we should probably take a look at the specifics of the Drake v. Drake case. So based on our briefs, we know that James and Jane Drake got married back in 1977.
Okay.
Then a few years later, in 1985, James hurt his wrist at work.
Oof, that's gotta hurt.
Yeah. And because of that, he started receiving workers' compensation payments.
Makes sense.
Then in 1990, he decided to go for a lump sum settlement. So instead of getting those payments over time, he took a one-time payment of $42,000.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So that was in 1990. And then they didn't actually separate until 1993.
So a few years later. Okay.
And then Jane filed for divorce after that separation. And that's where the whole dispute over that $42,000 comes in.
I see. So it was while they were still married that he got this lump sum, but the divorce proceedings started after.
Exactly.
That timing seems pretty key here.
Absolutely. And that's where the legal question comes into play, right?
It's okay.
So the central issue is whether a workers' compensation award, and specifically this commutation award, which is basically just a fancy term for that lump sum payment.
Right.
Whether that, when received during the marriage, is automatically considered marital property under Pennsylvania's divorce code.
So even though it's meant to cover his future potential lost earnings from the injury, the fact it came through while they were still married makes it a shared asset.
Well, that's what the majority opinion in the Supreme Court decided. Justice Newman wrote the opinion, and they focus heavily on the timing of when James got the right to receive that award. So Pennsylvania law, specifically Section 3501 of their divorce code, it basically says that anything you acquire during the marriage is presumed to be marital property.
Okay.
And the court decided that that applies in this case, even though the money was meant to replace future earnings.
So it doesn't matter what the money represents or what it's intended to replace, as long as the right to get that money came about during the marriage, boom, it's marital property.
Yeah, that's essentially it.
So it seems like they're going with a very strict definition of acquired during the marriage then.
Yeah, and our fictional podcast actually has a pretty good example of this. They talk about it like, imagine you get a bonus at work while you're married.
Okay.
But you don't actually get paid that bonus until after you've separated from your spouse. Even though you receive the money later, you earn the right to that bonus during the marriage.
Makes sense. So like that bonus, even though James got the lump sum after they separated, the legal right to it was established while he was still married. So it's considered shared.
Exactly. So it's all about the timing of the right, not necessarily the timing of the actual payment.
Okay, I get it. But I'm guessing this wasn't a unanimous decision, was it?
You're absolutely right. There was actually a dissenting opinion in this case written by Justice Castile.
And I'm assuming he had a different take on how to look at this whole situation.
Definitely. He argued that the purpose of the award should be more important than just the timing.
Okay.
So his thinking was that if part of that $42,000 was meant to replace James's lost earnings for the time after he and Jane separated, then Jane shouldn't be entitled to that part because she wouldn't have been entitled to those future earnings if they'd stayed married.
Right, because those earnings would have been his alone, not something earned during the marriage.
Exactly. So Justice Castile was really focused on the idea that, well, you know, a spouse shouldn't benefit from money that's specifically meant to compensate for their ex's future lost income.
Yeah, I can see that side of the argument. It does feel a bit unfair, especially if the bulk of those lost earnings are predicted to happen after the divorce.
Right.
So we've got this fundamental difference in how to view this kind of situation, timing versus purpose. How did this play out in terms of how these cases are actually decided?
Well, the fictional podcast we have lays out a two-step kind of test that came out of this ruling. And it's really helpful to understand how these types of cases are decided.
A test, huh? That's a good way to break it down.
So step one, all about timing. Did the right to the workers' comp settlement, did that come about during the marriage? If the answer is yes, then boom, it's an initially considered marital property.
So based on that, the $42,000 in the Drake case would be marital property, right? Because the injury, the settlement, all happened while they were married.
You got it. But that doesn't mean that it's automatically split down the middle. And that's where step two comes in.
Okay, so there's more to the story. What's step two about?
Step two is all about being fair, equitable distribution. Even though the settlement is classified as marital property, how it's actually divided is a whole other discussion. Pennsylvania law, section 3502A, is very clear that the court has to consider a bunch of factors to make sure things are fair.
So it's not just a simple 50-50 split?
Nope. The court has to look at things like the health of each spouse, their earning capacity, both now and in the future, where their income comes from, and their overall economic needs.
That's a lot to take into account.
Yeah, it is. And it's because the law recognizes that in a situation like this, where one person has a work case injury, they can really change their ability to make a living. And the court has to take that into account when deciding how to split the marital property.
So even though in Drake v. Drake, the money was deemed marital property initially, the court could decide to give James a bigger share because of his wrist injury.
Exactly. They can say, look, he's got this injury. It's going to impact his ability to earn a living going forward. So he needs more of that settlement to be secure.
That makes sense. It's not just about splitting things equally, but fairly based on everyone's individual situation.
Exactly.
It's good that there are these safeguards in place. I imagine some people listening might hear this and worry that if they get a settlement while married, they're automatically losing half of it in a divorce.
Oh, for sure. And that's not necessarily the case. The court has a lot of leeway to do what's right.
Mm-hmm.
And that brings up something interesting from the detailed case brief. It actually mentions what James was planning to do with that $42,000. He wanted to put some of it in an IRA, some in a high-interest account, and even use some of it to get a master's degree.
Oh, wow. So he was really looking towards the future.
Exactly. And that kind of reinforces the whole debate about timing versus purpose.
Right, because it shows he wasn't just looking at it as a windfall to spend, but as a way to support himself long-term, especially given the injury.
Yeah. And then our standard legal brief actually has a quote that I think is really, really important. It says, classifying the award as marital property merely gives the court authority to divide it as the equities in the particular case may require.
So even though it's classified as marital property, it's not game over for the injured spouse.
Exactly. It basically means that the court has the power to look at the situation and decide what's fair based on all those factors we talked about.
Gotcha. So it's about giving the court flexibility to do what's right, not just blindly applying a strict rule.
Right. But, you know, the standard brief also includes a really strong quote from Justice Castile's dissent. He said, a spouse has no right to the other spouse's earnings after the marriage ends. Therefore, the spouse should have no right to a workers' compensation commutation award that is intended as a substitute for those future earnings.
I like how he puts that. It gets right to the heart of the matter. Why should someone benefit from an award that is specifically designed to replace future income that they wouldn't have had a right to if the marriage continued?
Exactly. It really challenges the idea that just because the award came through during the marriage, it should automatically be considered fully shared.
So as we wrap up, what would you say is the key takeaway from all this for our listeners?
So the big thing to remember, especially in Pennsylvania, if you receive a workers' compensation lump sum payment during your marriage, the courts will first look at when you got the right to that award. And if it was during the marriage, then yes, it is considered marital property.
Okay, that's the starting point, but it doesn't end there.
Absolutely not. The final division of that money is not automatically 50-50. The courts have to take a lot of factors into account, like each person's health, their ability to earn a living, and their overall financial needs. So it's really about making sure the split is fair and equitable for both people.
So even though the initial ruling might seem like a blanket statement, there's actually a lot of nuance and room for individual circumstances to be considered.
Absolutely. And I think what's really interesting and something to ponder after this is whether focusing on the timing of the award, like the Pennsylvania Supreme Court did, truly balances the ideas of marital property with the whole point of workers' comp.
Right, which is to make up for lost earning capacity, often far into the future.
Exactly. So it really makes you think, what are the long-term consequences for both people financially when these types of settlements are divided in a divorce?
It's a really complex situation with no easy answers.
Definitely food for thought.
Absolutely.
Thanks for joining us for another deep dive.
It was a pleasure.